This morning is an awesome Sunday to be here. It is a Sunday when we are going to share with you the incredible reports of what happened when our teams got on the ground in Costa Rica. So many of you are familiar with Power of One now. Power of One is our mission and ministry arm of the church where we raise funds specific. Every penny, penny for penny, that comes into Power of One is used to make a difference in mission and ministry. I want to make sure I reiterate this. It doesn't keep the lights on. It doesn't keep the water running. It doesn't keep the staff on salary. It doesn't keep any of the equipment that we purchase. None of that is filtered through Power of One. Power of One is specific when it comes to our ministry and mission in the world around us. One of the areas where we see the great impact is we raise over $10,000 every year for our teams to go down to Costa Rica and to be able to raise project funds. And you're going to hear about some of the work and witness aspects and the projects that we accomplished with our Costa Rica team this past summer. But also, another very interesting thing that we had an opportunity to do this year is we actually sent down two teams. What's really incredible about that is the one team you've heard a lot about, but the other team you haven't heard so much about because it was very unique. Because Trinity is blessed with a lot of really talented and really intelligent people, we thought, you know what? Let's send down a team that's going to help encourage the district. Let's send down a team that's going to help come alongside pastors and their families and teach them and disciple them and to grow them. You see, because we again believe our core values are important. Well, our core values actually match the core values of the Costa Rica North District, and they agree in the same way. And so we had the opportunity. I'm going to invite Kathy Lowen to come, and she was a part of our second team that went down. In fact, she was our second team that went down. And what's really awesome is you would probably agree with this, that really there were a lot of things that were in opposition of this team. In fact, we lost a lot of members that were supposed to go on this second trip, me being one of them. And so through all of the adversity, we knew that God was going to do something amazing. We knew that God was going to do something incredibly special because of all the adversity we had faced in order for this to happen. One of the things, I just want to mention this very quickly, is we need to continue to pray for Stephen and Carla Lovett. You may not have seen Carla around here very much this summer. That's because she's literally spending her summer in Costa Rica. She decided that as she went down and she was our on-the-ground host for our team and the connection between us and the Costa Rica North District, she got to the end of that second trip and said, you know what, God, I think you're calling us to stay. So she stayed and her husband, Steve, went down to be with her. And so right now, last week, while we were meeting here in worship, Stephen Lovett was preaching to the congregation in Cañas Dulces in Spanish. That is impressive because he does not speak Spanish. I mean, he does, but not even to the level of what Carla. Carla is now almost pretty much bilingual. And the things that she has been able to accomplish is pretty amazing. And so we as a church, we're connecting on a much deeper level than just writing a check. I was sharing with the board on Thursday night that we don't want to be a congregation that just either buys gifts or writes checks. We don't want to be that congregation. We want to, yes, do those things because those things are important, but we want to go the next step. The next step is to have point-to-point, one-on-one contact. And I almost called you Pastor Kathy. So she's like, don't do that to me. And Kathy had that opportunity, that one-on-one, point-to-point contact. So I'm going to give it to you now. Thanks.
Good morning. When Randy and I were asked to go on the teaching mission trip, we both were very excited. But as we prayed and talked about going, we both knew that Randy would not be able to go. He encouraged me to still go. Initially, others were going to travel with me, but God had other plans, and I would travel alone. I questioned if I should still go because I had never traveled internationally by myself, nor had I taught myself by myself except to ladies' groups. So as I continued to pray, I knew this is something that God was asking me to do. God confirmed this in many ways as I was preparing. I'd like to share just a couple of those God stories that happened before leaving and then share briefly my time in Costa Rica. So I was going I was presenting three main workshops: Keys to Ministering to Marriage, Staying Healthy and Vibrant in the Ministry God Has Given You, and Foundational Building Blocks in Parenting. Along with these three main workshops, I was taking extra documents on marriage and parenting. Carla Lovett told me to expect opportunities for less formal conversations on those topics, and I want to be able to give them a document that would help. In total, I had 25 documents that needed to be translated. They varied from 1 page to 10 pages. I ended up having 4 different people translate the documents for me, and each time they gave them back to me, they all commented how doing the translation was helpful for them, including a coworker of Randy's at work. Another interesting God story is how God provided translation for the last 4 documents. It was all arranged, and everything would be back to me in several days. During this time, I had a phone call from a lady from downtown Chicago who I haven't talked to for about 3 years. And I helped her years ago, and she was contacting me again for some advice. And she asked me how she could pray. So I shared with her about the Costa Rica trip, and she immediately asked if I needed any documents translated. She would love to help, but I already had that all organized. But little did I know, 2 days later, I would get a phone call from the person who was doing my last 4 documents. They had a family medical emergency come up, and she could not do it. I said, wow, God, you knew, and already had another person in mind, so I had no need to be anxious or upset. Another neat God story was how God used Amy Hill. I asked her if she could provide simple gifts that I could leave with the ladies who I would be ministering to in Costa Rica. She has done this for our GEMS gathering. So when I asked Carla Lovett how many I would need, she responded, 100. Amy said, I'm not sure if I'll be able to do that, but we prayed and believed, and God provided. So I went armed with 100 little gift bags for the ladies, containing a Spanish bookmark, a little encouragement note, a couple pieces of candy, and the nail polish that Amy provided. Even when I received the Spanish bookmarks, I really realized I was going to be 12 short. So I went to the Christian bookstore again. They had exactly 12. Thank you, Jesus. I remember getting the text from Amy that she would be able to provide those 100 beautiful nail polishes. I get goosebumps just thinking about it. I said to respond, that is so special, thank you. I could cry right now. To which she replied, it's pretty amazing. God is good. Amy, thank you for being part of that God story. After every workshop, I was able to give these special gifts to all the ladies. Because of this special gesture, the ladies felt free to open up and wanted time to talk with me about either marriage or parenting issues. I don't know if that would have happened without these gifts. So I truly believe that God helped me minister to these dear ladies in a very special way. For the men, we had homemade bookmarks that Carla Lovett was able to provide. They appreciated them as well, but it just wasn't quite the same. Carla, Bruce, and I traveled to 9 different churches where I did 12 workshops. Those that attended were so teachable and hungry and to hear practical teaching on marriage and parenting. On the first night that I spoke, we had an interesting experience. It was a small church, a very hot evening, so the doors were open. It was dark, so the lights were on inside, which attracts bugs. Big bugs. Lots of big bugs called chocoronas or crash bugs. So as we were speaking, these bugs would hit you, like in your arm, your face, your forehead, all over. And Bruce was trying to brush them off me, which was more distracting. So I said, let's just leave it and ignore it. Amazingly, I was able to do that. I know it was only God that helped me ignore the bugs and focus on what I was teaching. At the end, when I looked down where I was standing, there were hundreds because they would hit you and fall and die. So I was standing amongst over 100 dead bugs. It was so gross. And when I think of it now, I know it was God that helped me keep going because I truly don't like bugs, especially that size. So after, I thought, oh, is this the first night? What's it going to be like? But that was the only one time that happened. After a Sunday afternoon workshop, we stayed for the evening service. The time of worship was absolutely amazing. They sang hymns so beautifully. I was able to recognize some of them. And Bruce, who was my translator, he actually shared the evening message. And at the end, they sang a couple more hymns in Spanish. And one of them that's saying, I just had tears running down my face because it was a hymn that Randy's parents used to sing together. And it just really struck me that the presence of God was so obvious all that day, and I could just feel his presence. And so even though I couldn't understand what they were saying, their sincerity, their love for God, their teachable hearts, their prayer time, all of it spoke to me in ways that I did not expect and felt so encouraged and challenged. Another night, we were with an extremely small group that was mostly single individuals or single parents. So we decided to not do our regular workshop. I had several short devotionals that I could share as well, but they were mostly on marriage and parenting. So as I looked through them, I really felt God was led me to the one on 7 key points to friendship in marriage. So I changed it to 7 key points in friendship. And you have to understand, we made this change 10 minutes before the workshop began. And so as I was sharing, God was bringing to me scripture memory that I had learned years ago that fit in so beautifully with what I was sharing. This was totally God showing up, because for those that know me, I like to have my notes all written out and prepared and know what to say, but it was God that just worked through me that night, and to see how God was working in and through me was so humbling, and all I can say is thank you, Jesus. On the way back, drive back to La Finca, like, we drove a lot to these different churches, so I saw a lot of beautiful different sites, and the country of Costa Rica is so beautiful. I saw pineapple fields, rice fields, coffee plantations, beautiful mountains, some very wealthy homes and areas, and others where it is hard to imagine people living in those conditions. One place we stopped at was Peace Lodge at La Paz Waterfall Gardens. I went on a 4-hour hike to see 7 beautiful waterfalls, while Carla and Bruce stayed at the lodge to catch up on work. It was an absolutely amazing way to spend some downtime before my time in Costa Rica came to a close. So one church I spoke at near the end, it was without a pastor. I met 2 young men there, 2 brothers ages 21 and 24, and they are so involved in the church. They lead worship, work with the teens, teach Sunday school, and so many other things. They were on fire for the Lord. I taught the workshop called Foundational Building Blocks in Parenting. These 2 young men were so engaged, asked many questions, and had great comments throughout the workshop. At the end, I asked them what they thought about this workshop. 2 young men, not married, no children, and yet were so engaged and encouraging. They said they thought the workshop was so practical and encouraging. They were excited to share it with their parents along with others. They said someday they would be married and would be able to pull their notes out and review them. They also want to know if they could contact me with any questions on marriage and parenting. So they friended me on Facebook. They shared they have lots of speakers come to their church to preach, which is great, but they never have someone come and share something so practical on marriage and parenting. They also spoke English really well, so they want to spend extra time so they could practice their English, and it was a really fun evening for all of us. My last workshop at La Finca was actually quite emotional for me, knowing this was my last workshop for the time being there. I found at every church the people are so gracious, so teachable, so hungry, and wanting to learn. So many asked me when I would be returning. I was so humbled, stretched, encouraged, and challenged. One of my prayers was that when I spoke with Bruce, my translator, that we would flow well together. And right from the first workshop to the very last workshop, we worked great together. He was amazed. I had never had a translator before. That was God showing up again. He had never seen any of my workshops before I shared them. And so as he heard each one of them at different times, he became emotional because God was speaking to him as he was sharing as well. So God answered that prayer in such a wonderful way. Something that we are praying about now is that they have asked me to prepare some 3 to 5 minute video clips to send to them on topics that I had shared. Like, what does my quiet time look like? How do I journal? What is couch time? What do you mean by that? And they want me to do that so they can send it to the different churches and share on Sundays, and they want to keep my face in front of them along with the practical things that I shared with them and that they won't forget. They also asked that Rand and I pray about going back next year to do a marriage retreat for them. So pray with us about these opportunities. I don't know what's going to happen. So I am very thankful for the opportunity I had to go on this teaching mission trip to Costa Rica. I trust what I shared this morning has given you a glimpse into what I experienced, but more importantly, what God did during this time in my life and the hearts and minds of these dear people.
Here for you. Just stay up here. I'm going to ask you a question. So that is amazing. And even just to hear the opportunity that we would have to partner with you all in creating these videos that would go back to Costa Rica to even spur on the conversation. Something that you said that brought to mind, you said, you know, when you were recalling those verses, you know, I know you know this as well. God's word does not return void. If you hide God's word in your heart, Amen. When you need it the most, it will come back. Amen. And the coolest thing is you said, you know, that was just God showing up. And I thought, no, that wasn't him just showing up. That was him showing off.
That's good.
You know? Good. And so just if you could say something to the congregation that would encourage them to consider, what does it look like to go on a trip? I mean, what does it look like, you know, talking to somebody who just says, there's no way that I'd be able to stand up there and talk to a group of people, or there's no way that I would allow bugs to crash into me. And if you actually looked at that picture, when she says 100, that's being generous,
That picture was at the very beginning before I even started the workshop.
Wow. So I don't know if you can see it right there in the bottom right-hand corner. All those little dots down there are these crash bugs. Now, granted, we don't want to discourage you from going on the trip to Costa Rica.
That was only the one time happening.
Yeah.
But the people there are just so gracious. And yeah, I was scared. But you know what? Every time I got up, God spoke through me. It wasn't me, you know. And even when I was preparing here and having God confirm over and over, yes, you need to go, you know, because I questioned, I'm the only one going. I'm going to meet Carla there. But I'm the only one going. Does God really want me to go? Yeah, He did. He
Amen.
Did. And so you just need to pray and to have an awesome experience. It was like God shows up. He
Amen.
Shows off.
That's right. Amen. Awesome. Can we show appreciation to Kathy? Thank you. I'll take this for you.
Listen, we're going to continue to have these slides showing as some of our team members come up and speak. And we, first of all, simply want to say thank you as the body of Christ for supporting the team through the fundraising process and all that we have been able to do, the hard work. All that you see up here is work that we had gone to do to represent Trinity Church of the Nazarene. And we did have some folks that were outside of the church that joined us, and we appreciate that. And some of them are here this morning, and they got a chance to be a part of this miracle is what we're going to call that, because Pastor, truly, when you put something like this together and you're able to take that many people to go that far, to do that much, and then to bring them back, all of them back, that can be a challenge, okay? So especially after day three, just kidding. Anyway, it's a great time. So we're going to go ahead and have a few of those. We've got four of those folks that have come up and are wanting to share just a brief little bit about some of the highlights about this trip, and we'll go ahead and get that started here this morning. I'm going to ask Maggie if she would kind of lead us off here this morning. Come on up, Maggie. And we, again, appreciate her going and sacrificing and Juan giving her up for that period of time, and her Sophia too. So we'll start out with you.
Yes, well, I'm not very good talking in public, so I'm sorry. But I want to say that I was feeling really blessed to be able to go to Costa Rica. My heart is really very thankful to the Lord for the opportunity to allow me to go. And I'm sorry, I'm a little bit emotional, but the experience was, for me, so intense. And I just want to share with you that in the beginning, I was a little bit hesitant. I didn't know what to expect. And there were doubts in my mind. I had my own idea of how a mission trip should be. I should go to clothe the poor, to give food to the hungry. And I was thinking, maybe going there, I'm going to a big church, and I don't know what is the Lord intending me to do there. And also, I always thinking about theology and, you know, those things. But inside my heart, I was thinking, well, I want to give the message of God to other people. But also, I just don't want it to be just a message. I want it to be, I think the only way that you can really give this message effectively is if it's carried by love. So I just was thinking, maybe God wants me to go and experience love in this trip. And I didn't know how it was going to go, but it ended up being amazing. It ended up being even better than I was expecting. There were some instances that I felt sometimes that it was not perfect. But I think that trusting in God, allowing myself to trust in Him and put myself in His hands, make me able to get rid of all the negativity and just be able to enjoy everything, even the things that were not perfect. And once I was there and I did the job, I could see it clearly. I could see clearly that God had a plan with this, and He has sent me there to not only to work for His kingdom, but to be loved, to love other people and to serve Him. And He gave me many opportunities there to experience His love and to feel that I have a family in Christ, not only here in the U.S. Like, it's always awesome, and especially for me that I come from another country, just come to a place and be united with the people in one spirit was something that it's very difficult to experience. And just when I went there and I was with Sophia and we were together in one spirit, even though I felt there were differences, cultural differences and barriers, you know, in the way we think, but I could feel one spirit. I could feel my family is here. I'm part of this family. This is the family of God. And for me, that was very, very powerful, just to be able to experience that. And I just encourage anybody that have ever think about going into a mission trip, if you really want to feel the love of God through other people, you need to do one of these experiences. Because that's when you're going to realize that God has a kingdom in this earth and that you are part of it as many other people from other countries are part of it. And we are here with the mission to carry the gospel, but it's not only a message. It's unconditional love. That's what it really means. So it was a powerful experience for me, and I was very, very blessed to being able to bring Sophia and to show her how she can serve the Lord. And she was very excited about it. We were a little bit tired at times, sometimes completely exhausted for the work. But it was sweet. In the core, it was completely sweet. The fellowshipping was pure. I was able to connect with all of them. And of course, you will say, well, you speak Spanish, easy for you, because you can communicate. It's true, it was easier for me to connect in a little things and culturally also, but I saw my team. I saw everybody connecting with everybody. I saw, even though the differences, I saw one spirit, one unity, and one family in Christ. So I feel very blessed and very thankful to the Lord for the opportunity that Trinity has gave me to go there and serve the Lord. So, yeah.
And listen, just because you do speak Spanish doesn't mean that everything came real easy for her either, because there is a little bit of a difference of dialect to some degree, and so just the way that they, some of the wordings that they used wasn't totally exactly the way you would say it, so it was good. Thank you very much. Miss Sophia, come on up here. Now, Sophia, amen. Sophia had a great, she was obviously the youngest individual on the trip, and we appreciate her going because she was, you saw those beautiful pictures right here. She had the camera, and you were doing a fantastic job of catching everybody in action. Now, here's the deal, though. We're going to have to train her a little bit, Pastor, because she would give people a chance to really kind of pose instead of, you know, so everybody got a chance to smile and do all that good stuff. So, but anyway, we appreciate you doing that, and wanted you to share with us this morning kind of what some of the highlights of your trip.
Okay, well, When Pastor Tony told me and all that that we could go on this Costa Rica trip and all, I got very excited about it. And well, I liked it a lot. And well, I went blindly into Costa Rica, not expecting really anything, and I kind of didn't know what was going to happen, and that God was going to carry us through. And I liked it a lot, like I already said, but we did many things, like painting and doing construction and all that. And you probably saw in the pictures that, like, we went to other churches. Well, and we went to this small church, and we painted it, and we stayed there for a while and did things. And we also held a VBS there for a couple of children. And we did a VBS there, and we also did a bigger VBS that was with about 70 children in the Poas Church. And it all came out really nicely. There was nothing really bad that happened in the VBS, at least. But, yeah. And we did a lot of we did some construction in this other, like, sports complex area, and we painted it, and we also went swimming there, and yeah.
I just want to see how long she wanted to squirm up here a little bit. Now, listen, I want you to understand another thing, too. Two more things. First of all, you guys did go swimming, but it is winter in Costa Rica when the time that we went, so the water was very cold, right? I mean, the blue lips gave it away, so it was still. But listen, Sophia became also a very, very strategic translator for us as well, and she was able to. Poor Dan, he was looking for Sophie all the time. Hey, Sophie, you need to stick by my side and let's go do this. So she did a fantastic job. So she actually worked as the camera person, being the photographer and also a translator and also helping out. So we appreciate you going. I hope it changes the way that you see how we need to participate in the world around us. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Sophia. I bless you. Amen. All right. Well, listen, we're going to, Mr. Bill, if he would come up here. Now, Bill's got a few pictures here. He got three pictures that he wants to speak to. So if our tech gentleman will help him out there. And Bill was able to go. Now, this is Bill's second trip. Come on up, Bill. This is Bill's second trip. Now Bill is also a good translator as well. So he helped us out as well. We did not lack in translation this time, except for Dan and I. So everybody else was just fine. And so Bill, appreciate it. Just share about your pictures and highlight of the trip for yourself.
Okay. I want to say everybody ought to be getting the Holiness Today magazine. At the same time, I feel like, ought to preface that with the fact that really just a couple of weeks ago I started getting it myself. I just after a gap of there was a guy, a preacher before my time in our Nazarene history, who was a very popular preacher in his time, and he said that his definition of a heathen, well, first of all, I should say this magazine used to be called the Herald of Holiness, and Uncle Buddy Robinson used to say that a heathen was a Nazarene who didn't subscribe to the Herald of Holiness. So I'm no longer a heathen. But this magazine has a lot to. I just got this yesterday. You're trying to figure out what's this got to do with Costa Rica, but I'm getting there. I just got this yesterday, and it is just full of great stuff. But the last page has a question and answer thing by asking Rachel Crocker questions. She is the wife of Gustavo Crocker, one of our six general superintendents. a great leader. I've heard him speak a few times. And personal questions as well as more general questions. They ask, why is it important to think in global terms? Because we are a global family. Because God so loved the world. Because there are answers for every single person. The Word has no cultural preferences or limitations. One thing that has impressed me about the Church of the Nazarene is that we are family. Now, that's not to say that we think that Christ follower who happens to attend the Baptist Church or the Lutheran Church isn't our brother, our sister. Quite the contrary. But there's something about this family thing that we Nazarenes do well. And I found that through 69 years going here. My parents started me going to the Church of the Nazarene before I could, you know, I was still in diapers. And I was going. The first Sunday that I was in Costa Rica, our teams divided. Half of the team stayed at the large church, La Finca, we call it. And half of us took about an hour drive to a town called Las Palmares. I was among that group. And it's a smaller church, currently without a pastor, but a good group of people. I was waiting for the church service to start, I noticed a family came in just about 5 minutes before the church was scheduled to start, and I thought, I'll be friendly, go over and talk for a little bit, and introduce myself. They had, are we there yet? It's time for that. Okay. Marianella and Will, and there are two adopted sons, Will and Alexander. As I was talking to them, I spoke at one point directly to the boys, and I said, if you need another grandpa, I'm available. I took this picture of them after the service, and I promised I would. It was a rather emotional thing for them. They said it hadn't had a family picture ever, and Pastor referred to the fact that. Steve Lovett has, a few weeks ago, gone to Costa Rica. He took that picture with him, as well as another one I'm going to show you in a little bit. So they now have that framed picture with them. We've communicated a few times by email, and the last one that I got from them, you know, in the subject line, you sometimes put something in there in the subject line. In the subject line, they said, un beso para abuelito, which is a kiss for Grandpa. There was one day when I took a rather long coffee break with Julio, and I'm sure Pastor Tony docked my pay that day, but we sat for about an hour and talked, and I learned more Spanish, and we bonded as brothers in Christ. And I've got to tell you about Genesis. I think Sophia referred to already the second Saturday. We helped the Ticos put on a kids' day. I think they called it a kids' camp. From 9 to 4, kids were treated to games, songs, face painting, and they heard the gospel. So about 9 o'clock, the first group of kids started coming into the big church. 2 years ago, I went to Costa Rica, and on that day, there was one day that I sat down and once again took a long coffee break, I think, and talked with a grandma and her little 4-year-old granddaughter for half an hour or so. I'll never forget that day. I remembered Genesis. She was only 4, though. Would she remember me? Well, the first group were coming in Saturday morning about 9 o'clock, and I saw her. Our eyes met, and her face just lit up, and she ran to me and threw her arms around my waist. I think she remembered me. For the first half hour or so, she was kind of like wanted to be my shadow, and pretty much she was. Then I had to explain to her, I'm supposed to help this group, and you're supposed to be with this group. But we touched base through the day, and I got this picture of her there. Well, that's not quite the end of the story. The next day was Sunday. It was Father's Day. And here I was we had toward the end of the service, after the sermon where Carla preached, pastor asked all the fathers to come up front. And he had this wonderful prayer for all the fathers. And then after the prayer, he said something else, and I didn't quite get it, but after I saw what was happening, children, young children and adult children were coming up front and joining their father and saying words and giving hugs and all of this kind of thing. And maybe because I was rather sleep-deprived or I don't know, but here I was in Costa Rica. It was Father's Day, and I wasn't going to be able to be with any of my children or any of my grandchildren. And I was starting to have just a minor pity party, standing up there in the front. Just about that time, the fathers and children started to make a few steps, started toward their seats, and I heard the sound of running feet. Henesis was running down the aisle, and her face lit up as it was the day before, with her arms open, and she threw her arms around me and gave me this huge hug. This picture went with Steve Lovett in a nice frame also, and she has that. I hope, I expect that for the rest of my life I'm going to follow Henesis and keep that connection. There's a song we used to sing in the church chorus. Mr. Tamey, I think it's a shame we don't sing it anymore, but it says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I am. Your family is a lot bigger than you think.
For the record, we did not dock his time, okay? That's right. Listen, what Bill is talking about here this morning, we intentionally divided time up, work and relationships, because that the relationships last longer than the work. All right, so the sleep, being deprived of sleep, that's going to last for a little bit, but those relationships will last a lifetime. And so that's what we were doing. So thank you, Bill. And she did remember him. I remember sitting back there and watching this young girl just stream across there, grab a hold of him. I was like, where'd that come from? And then when Bill shared the story, I said, oh, it all makes sense now. It all makes sense. They remember the effect that you have on their lives by giving. Amen? By giving. Mr. Dan Coughlin is going to come up here and share a highlight of his story. And we appreciate Dan going. And now Dan is Spanish is improving. Now, don't let him fool you because he fooled me. All right? So when he says, I don't know any Spanish, Dan knows some Spanish. Thanks, Dan, for going.
Gracias, Señor Tony. Yeah, my best Spanish was asking people if they could speak Spanish very slowly to me. I learned to say that, and then I did okay. So in there, you saw a lot of the photos of some of the different projects that we had done. There was painting in the Sunday school rooms, painting in hallway, painting over at another church, digging a sidewalk, digging in a set of steps, doing vacation Bible school, helping run sort of a ministry exchange fair, and I'm not going to talk about any of that, right? The thing that I am going to talk about is the impact, what really had on me is the relationships between the groups. So in general, when we had gone there last time, and I've been blessed to be able to have gone on the trips three times to Costa Rica, and when we had gone last time, it really kind of took a while for the relationships to form between the two groups. But this time, it was a little bit different. It happened more quickly. We've been there before. The group from Costa Rica came and took a mission trip to the U.S., and we were able to connect with a lot of the people when they came here. We went there again, and now they've seen some of us before, so maybe we've had some more credibility in the fact that we came back. So there were some relationships that were really kind of kicked off really from the outset, and that was great. But what I really want to comment on are the teens that really took that to another level. So my daughter Lexi and Brittany's brother and sister, I see Matt over there, and I think Megan is not. I think she's not here today, and Sophia, and the teens really took that to another level. And what I mean is at the end of each day, we'd be done with our work and dinner and, you know, whatever meetings we had after work, and everybody's just beat, and it's 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, and all of us older folks are just ready to pull the plug and go to bed, and the teens are kind of sort of ready to start. And invariably, they would come and ask, hey, is it all right if we stay up and play cards? And I would say, it is, but remember, we have a breakfast meeting at 7 o'clock tomorrow, and you have to be on time. So the photo here that you can't see very well is by design. So after dinner at 10 o'clock at night, and they would typically get together and play cards until midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning, and they would typically play games that didn't take a ton of dialogue. So playing spoons or Uno. And this one was kind of one of my favorite photos, is that one of the places that they was played, there was a concrete picnic table outside in the area, and the light on the table is one or two of their cell phones with the flashlight on, balancing on a branch, illuminating the table, and they would sit around and play cards like that for hours. You can see the spoons on the table. And then if you do the next photo for me, please. And this one is a little bit better illuminated of largely the same group, once again, playing spoons or Uno or something like that. So, the groups in general just did it's just an incredible feeling of, you know, a term that Maggie had mentioned, of really kind of feeling like the body of Christ. And Bill had mentioned that, this feeling. So the blessing that everybody here in the congregation gave us by, whether it was financially contributing or contributing to the fundraisers or praying for us and making that happen, it really enabled this family of God for us to have that feeling and to really further develop that. One other build I'd have on that one is in the worship service. Now, everybody, what was really kind of cool is, unlike last time where we all kind of got there and didn't know each other, especially at the beginning, and you saw kind of separate groups of Costa Ricans who refer to themselves as Ticos and Americans kind of sitting as their separate groups. And now, from the first day I got there, it really struck me when I went, and everybody was just interspersed throughout the whole time. And then in worship, hearing songs and people, some people singing in Spanish and some people singing in English. And Shirley, I see you sitting there. And sometimes during service here, I don't know if folks have noticed, but Shirley often sings in sign language. And it's just striking that God hears that all the same. So the Spanish, the English, the sign language, the tribe that's in Zulu or Mandarin or whatever it is around the world, God hearing that all as one voice is pretty powerful. And the last thing I'd say that was really incredible about the experience is just seeing the impact of prayer. So the prayer that that all of you had for us, we were able to participate in the prayer meeting down at La Finca Church in Poa. So they do a midweek prayer meeting. And the room is full. And then they also do a morning prayer meeting. And I was surprised there, too, that the room was full. There was a photo of the room in one of the pics that was up here. And it was it was kind of a fairly large-sized classroom, and the room was full. And we came in, and throughout as it got started, they kept having to go to other rooms and kind of borrow more chairs and get more and more in there. And it filled this room for the morning prayer meeting. And by the way, the morning prayer meeting is at 4 a.m. 4 a.m. And the room is packed. They had to keep getting more chairs. So I guess all that to say, what you've heard today, the incredible experience, the tear-filled explanation from Maggie, the impact that these groups have had on the people in Costa Rica, and the impact that the Costa Rica team has had on us as the Americans, it was really all triggered by all this prayer that went on, both in POAS, throughout the country of Costa Rica, praying for our trips, here praying for trips, the multiple groups. So out of everything that's so wonderful about this trip, the thing that I would really encourage is for everybody to join in the prayer meetings here and just accentuate this all the more. And there's one here on Wednesday evenings, and there's a men's prayer meeting on Tuesday mornings. And I think that ours was kind of early because it's at 6:30 in the morning. But at 6:30 in the morning, they're pretty much done, right? So Tuesday mornings at 6:30 for the men, Wednesday evening, everybody, and just watch God light it up. So thank you, everybody, for enabling these trips and for this kind of stuff to happen. God bless you all.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Absolutely. 4 a.m. is early, folks. I don't know if you are there already at 4 a.m., but that wasn't me. But we did show up, but it was a struggle. Listen, I, again, appreciate you as a support. Listen, if you're a team member and you made that trip, could you just stand just real quick here, just acknowledgement? Some of you didn't speak. Come on, Lorraine. Come on, Matthew. There we go. Brittany's back there. Amen. Amen. A gentleman by the name of Brian Spangler, you may be seated. Brian Spangler was able to join us. You know, he's not here this morning, but he did a lot of the welding. He did a lot of the heavy stuff up there with the welding and the steel and stuff. So we were able to do a lot. Now I can't take a week, as Pastor and I talked about, and throw it in this short period of time. So I just want to say thank you. And I appreciate Carla's leadership. She went down there before we got down there, helped get things lined, set up for us. And some changes were had to be made, which is great. Better to do that before we get there than when we get there. And I really appreciate her helping out down there. And they're staying down there just to continue to do what God has called her to do right now. So, and again, I just appreciate the team members. What a team we had to go. We need you to be a part of that team next time if you haven't been. We need you to go. Bring your gifts, bring your talents, and allow God to use you down in Costa Rica and allow God to make an impact on your life. And you'll be amazed what God can do. Now, I know it was Lorraine and Matt's first trip and Megan's first trip and Brittany's first trip. So we had some first-timers, and I don't think they came away not willing to want to go again. And so God will do amazing things. So again, thank you as the body of Christ for allowing us to be a part of that and allowing me as one of your pastors to go on that trip. And again, thank you, Pastor Steve, for allowing that to take place. So again, thank you very much. I can't say it enough, and I'll turn this over to Pastor Steve.